Wow, what a psalm. My goodness gracious. You know, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 25 through 38, it introduces us to some special people, Simeon and Anna. They spend their days in the temple worshiping and praying. Simeon, in particular, is looking for the consolation of Israel. Wow. That is for God to save his people. And after reading Psalm 80, he needs to do that. Well, thank God we do have history on our side, and we know that it has happened, and they are now back into their land again since 1948. But when Simeon held a newborn Christ in his arm, he announces with joy, "Now my eyes have seen your salvation." Hundreds of years before, though, a poet prayed to God, "God, come and save us," Psalm 80, verse 2. And now God has fully answered that prayer. Praise be to God for the times that we live in. You know, we are living today, even in Bible times. We study the Bible, we look back, and sometimes we think, "Wow, I'd like to have lived in Bible times." Well, you're living in Bible times, 2025. Now, God has fully answered that prayer of the psalmist. Come and save us. Well, the psalm begins with Asaph asking God to restore the people. He wants God to smile upon his people and save them. Well, again, we hear the desperate cry, "Oh, how long, O Lord?" How often do we pray, "Lord, give us our daily bread," and ask God to meet our daily needs? But for the Israelites, the only bread that God had given to them is the bread of tears. They talk about rubbing salt into the wounds that their enemies make fun of them. And in verses 8 through 16, the psalmist takes God on a brief historical tour through the popular metaphor of the vine, for which Israel, he reminds God of the ups and downs and their relationship with him. God saved Israel from Egypt, if you remember, and then planted them in the promised land where they prospered. And then, I love that, and then the psalmist speaks of how God turned against Israel, and he asks, "Why? Why has this happened to us, O Lord?" Has Asaph forgotten the centuries of idolatry and disobedience that was committed by Israel? Of course not. The previous two psalms we've already looked at remind Israel of her persistent sin. And the thrust of this psalm is then a plaintive cry for God to rescue them. And the note of which Asaph both begins and ends, "Rescue us, O Lord! Make your face shine upon us again, that we may be saved." Well, for centuries, the Jewish people sang their song, the prayer of salvation, and their enemies came and went, but they rarely experienced freedom and peace. Yet, they never stopped praying, "Save us," because they never stopped hoping and believing. Wow. Now, we think about that even in our country in the day and time that we live in, because many churches read this psalm during Christmas time, the season we're in now. The season reminds us of the day that God finally answered the prayer of Psalm 80 through the gift of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus came and he demonstrated that God has indeed shown his face upon us and has come to save us. Praise be to God, and I hope that we all celebrate the Christmas season in the attitude that it's meant to be, that God did come to save us. Well, I think this psalm encourages us to keep praying, especially for the salvation of our loved ones and family and friends and many people that we know, church people, because the many tears have been on our beard for years too. But keep praying. That's the message, Psalm 80, and also the message that we have as Christ followers. Keep praying, because one day, hallelujah, praise be to God, like Simeon, you may discover that your prayer has been heard. Well, I know God hears our prayers, and we know that He answers prayer, because if we look back in our life, some of the things that we were going through and we were praying, then we wonder, oh God, have you heard my prayer? And we look back, and not only did He hear your prayer, but He delivered from whatever or gave you what you needed for that time, because God does answer prayer. So what happens when many in Israel were praying for salvation for years and years and, well, centuries? And then how can this encourage us to be persistent in prayer? Because the Israelites were doing that. And then finally in 1948, they became a nation again, and they are now back in their land and prospering, even though they have challenges all around. But they are there in the land. And that was a prophecy that's come to pass, because they had to be back in the land even for us to look for the return of Jesus, because He's going to return to the Mount of Olives. So our challenge is for this about prayer. Be persistent in prayer, especially for our final restoration. And then you can find that in the book of Revelation, chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. But who have you been praying for? And have you been praying for a long time? Well, as we do these little devotions, and the Word truly is the way to life, and how we can have life more abundantly because Jesus is the Word, and He has come to show us the way, that we need to take a few moments and to use the words of Psalm 80 to guide us and to remind us what we're praying for and who we're praying for. And what the blessed hope is as we look forward to Christ's return. When? I don't know. I'm not a date setter. But you know, always you will see the signs of the time and you think, oh, well, history's going to repeat itself. And a lot of times it does, but certainly history rhymes. And we're seeing the signs now. When Jesus is going to return, I don't know. But He said He would, and I believe it. He promised, and I stand on the promises of God, my Savior. And I pray that you do too. So we have the hope in Christ, not only in these times of this Christmas season, but all the days of our life, in Jesus' name. Thank you for tuning in to The Word is the Way to Life. And share the gift of salvation with somebody that you know that maybe is not walking with the Lord, and they need to be infused with that hope that we all have in Christ. In Jesus' name, have a great day.